Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. I will sing of my Redeemer, He who took the nails for me. I've been purchased, I've been pardoned, bound to Him I'm truly free. I will sing of my Redeemer, how He sought me while a slave. Loose me from the curse of sin, from the power of the grave. I will sing of my Redeemer, lift my voice to praise my Lord. Ransomed by His blood and mercy, I am His forever. Servant chose to suffer, lifted up and cast from earth. I will sing of my Redeemer, lift my voice to praise my Lord. Ransomed by His blood and mercy, I am His forevermore.
Sing of my Redeemer, tell about the grace I've known. Here on earth with those forgiven, and one day around His throne.
I will sing of my Redeemer, lift my voice to praise my Lord. Ransomed by His blood and mercy, I am His forevermore. I am His forevermore.
Amen. I am His forevermore. This song talks about creation's King. His name is Jesus.
Creation sings the Father's song. He calls the sun to wake the dawn and run the course of day till evening falls in crimson rays. His fingerprints in flakes of snow, His breath upon the spinning pole. He charts the eagle's flight, the man's the newborn baby's cry.
Yeah. of reconciling God and man. Life would break the curse, whose death would set us free to live with Him eternally.
Shall reign upon the earth. The bitter wars that rage are birth pains of a coming age. When healing is to land and sky, all heaven will sing and earth reply with one resplendent theme: the glory of our God and King.
Righteousness, the great unchangeable I am. the King of glory and of grace.
One with himself I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high. My Savior and my God.
Man, we're going to do one more tonight. Dad requested this song as tie-in with the message that the Lord has laid on his heart tonight. This song says, "He is everything to me."
I grew up in Sunday school. I memorized the golden rule and how Jesus came to set the sinner free. I know the story inside out, and I can tell you all about the path that led him up to Calvary. But ask me why he loves me, and I don't know what to say. But I'll never be the same, because he changed my life when he became
everything to me. He's more than a story, more than words on a page of history. He's the air that the water I thirst for, and the ground beneath my feet. He's everything,
everything to me.
We're living in uncertain times, and more I find that I'm aware of just how fragile life can be. I want to tell the world I've found a love that turned my life around. They need to know that they can taste and see. Now every day I'm praying just to give my heart away. So that someone else might see that he is
everything. More than a story, more than words on a page of history. He's the air that I breathe, the water I thirst for, and the ground beneath my feet. Everything.
Looking back over my life at the
end,
I'm gonna need you, say you've been
everything to me. You're more than a story, more than words on a page of history.
History, you're everything to me. You're more than a story, more than words on a page of history. You're the air that I breathe, the water I thirst for, ground beneath my feet. You're everything, the ground beneath my feet. Oh, he's everything, everything to me.
Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Father, I thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you, Father, that you so deeply care about every heart here tonight. Way beyond what any human here on earth could ever imagine or even come close to imagining, the depth of your care for every heart. Lord, I thank you for just bringing me to this place of just brokenness, and as I discern what your heart is. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the presence of your Spirit here tonight. Bless your name, Lord. I rejoice in you. You are Alpha, Omega, beginning and the end, the everlasting. You're everything. You've done it all. You held nothing back. You're on the throne. You're sitting at the right hand of the Father, according to your word, interceding for us here tonight. Thank you, Jesus, that I believe you are looking down upon us. You are manifesting your presence in this place. And while you're doing that, people on the other side of the world are experiencing this as well, who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Have your way. Have your way. Do your work. Do your ministry tonight. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. I appreciate you bearing with me tonight. I am not embarrassed of tears, because I love when the Holy Spirit just so deeply ministers my own heart. The subject matter tonight is one that I was trying to reflect back as the Lord was laying it on my heart today. It's been a long time since I spoke on this subject, and we were in prayer meeting tonight, it was just an affirmation. You know, the Lord gives you those affirmations, and the Lord gives you those confirmations. And yet then there's times when you still sometimes kind of like, okay, did I hear right for sure? And is this for sure where we are to go tonight? And all of that. And then in prayer meeting, it was confirmed. And I'm so grateful how the Lord works in that way, through His Spirit, through people, and all of that. And so I want to share tonight. I don't have any PowerPoint to go with it. Concerning the cup. Jesus had a cup that he was willing to drink. And thank you for that light. Now I can see better. Jesus had a cup that he drank. And had he chosen not to drink it, you and I would not have tonight what we have. And that is called salvation. But in life, as children of God, I trust tonight, I want to believe that all of you are born again, part of the family of God. If not, tonight could be your night. I trust that that is the case. In life, there are cups that are handed to us. Cups that are very difficult to drink. Cups that are very difficult to understand at times. But we want to look into the Word of God tonight and to see what we should do with our cups that are handed to us. And I want to say in the onset, referring to the idea that I trust that everybody is a believer here tonight, when it comes to cups handed to us, or another way to put it is hard things in life or the trials of life, or James talks a lot about it, I have to remind myself often that as a child of God, everything that happens to me is passed through the hands of God. Everything that comes my way is passed through the hands of God because I am His. So He is in charge of my life, right? He's everything to me. He is the master. He controls my life. He watches over me. And so everything that happens to me is allowed or passed through the hands of Almighty God because we are His children. So often we look at hard things in life that maybe God is angry at us, or, well, and it could be at times where maybe sin that we give into, that God allows things to happen to get our attention, to get us out of that. Even if that's why hard things come, the heart of God is to take us through a hard time to get us to see that we're not to go on down that road. It's still about Him drawing us to Himself. Job is a great example of God allowing hard things to happen in his life. We don't have time to go there tonight. But different things in Scripture. I mean, we could look at the life of Paul and Silas. And man, where were these things happening? It was in the line of duty when they were obeying the commands of their master. That's when the hard times came. We are working, my wife and I, right now with a situation in a person's life that is very difficult to work with. And it's interesting how that when this individual, someone we have known for a long time, when this individual started coming clean before God and getting right with God is when the battles actually began. It is when confessions were made and things were cleared up. It's there where Satan was losing a foothold, and therefore the demonic forces were stirred up and so on. And so he was fighting even greater battles. But now to get this individual to direct his battle fighting to Almighty God instead of on his own is a whole different story. But in the line of duty is often where the trials happen. So may I, first of all, encourage us who we are in Christ, because if our identity in Christ is not settled, the moment that difficult times come our way, we often shatter, or we're not sure where to go or what to do with it if our identity in Christ is not solid. Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Excuse me. These verses are very familiar. This is not really talking about cups or the trials of life, but it's encouraging us of who we are. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. How many of us does that describe? All of us, I hope. Which in time past we were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So that is our identity. Who has brought us from darkness to light? Who is he? Jesus. So Jesus, the Savior of the world, has brought us from darkness to light. Therefore, when I understand that he is my identity of being brought from a darkened stage into the marvelous light of himself. Are you all breathing out there? I mean, think about it. Therefore, we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. According to the one who brought us from darkness to life, to light. Yeah, that's who we are, right? That's who we are. So that is our identity in Jesus Christ, because there is no other one who can bring someone from a darkened, lost, hell-bound state. There's no other but Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. There's no other but him. So, if we are brought from darkness to light, who is our identity? Jesus. Yeah. So that's who we are. So I have to understand that in order to face trials in life, because it helps me through them. Probably all of us respond differently when it comes to cups and hard things in life. Some of you may have heard this illustration. I came across it today and I thought, well, it fits so well. It was about a daughter who was in the kitchen with her mother. A young woman went to her mother, told her about her life and how things were so hard for her. She did not know how she was going to make it and wanted to just give up. She was tired of fighting and struggling. It seemed as one problem was solved, the new one arose. And then her mother took her into the kitchen. She filled three pots with water. In the first, she placed carrots. In the second, she placed eggs. And in the last, she placed ground coffee beans. She let them sit and boil without saying a word. In about 20 minutes, she turned off the burners. She fished the carrots out and placed them in a bowl. She pulled the eggs out, placed them in a bowl. And then she ladled the coffee out and placed it in a bowl. Turning to her daughter, she asked, "Tell me, what do you see?" "Carrots, eggs, and coffee." It's not a real thrilling combination there, but brings a point. She brought her closer and asked her to feel the carrots. She did and noted that they were soft. She then asked her to take an egg and break it. After pulling off the shell, she observed the hard-boiled egg. Finally, she asked her to sip the coffee, and the daughter smiled as she tasted its rich aroma. The daughter then asked, "What's the point, mother?" Her mother explained that each of these three objects had faced the same adversity, boiling water. All three of them faced the boiling water. But each one reacted differently. The carrot went in strong, hard, and unrelenting. However, after being subjected to the boiling water, became soft. The egg had been very fragile. Its thin outer shell had protected its liquid interior. But after sitting through the boiling water, its inside became hardened. The ground coffee beans were unique, however. After they were in the boiling water, they had actually changed the water. "Which are you?" she asked the daughter. "When adversity knocks on your door, how do you respond? Are you the carrot? Are you an egg? Are you the coffee bean? Which am I? Am I the carrot that seems strong, hard, unrelenting, but with pain and adversity, do I become soft and broken? Am I the egg that starts with a malleable heart but changes with the heat? Do I have a fluid spirit, but after a death, a breakup, a financial hardship, or some other trial, have I become hardened, stiff? Does my shell look the same, but on the inside, am I bitter, tough, stiff spirit, hardened heart? Or am I like the coffee bean? The bean actually changes the hot water. The very circumstance that brings the pain, when the water gets hot, it releases the fragrance and the flavor. If you are like the bean when things are at their worst, by God's grace, He takes you to another level. How do I handle adversity? Am I a carrot, an egg, or a coffee bean?" Go to Luke chapter 22, and we want to look at what the Word of God says there. Luke chapter 22. And this is where Jesus was talking to Simon. This is what he said in verse 31. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you," or thee, "that thy faith will not fail. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both in the prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." So we have Jesus speaking here. "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Now, that tells me when Jesus is saying this, and right on the heels of that, he says, but while in essence, what he's saying is, while you are being sifted, I want you to know that this sifting is a good thing, but I'm going to pray for you that what? That your faith will not fail. A very interesting verse from Jesus. It's interesting that Jesus didn't tell Peter, now, while you are being sifted, I don't want you to go here. I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to do that. But no, while you are being sifted and shaken and moved under my leading, I'm going to pray that your faith in me, don't lose heart. Don't lose faith. Keep going while you're being sifted. Now, what is the purpose of sifting? What's the purpose of shaking? You know, when I grew up as a little Amish boy, we were on a farm. Farmed with horses and a lot of manual labor and hand milking and all of that. And I was telling somebody a while back, where with all the cows I milked by hand, that's where I got my biceps. And then he said, "Well, where are they now? Or what happened to them now?" I said, "Well, anyway." But we did a lot of manual labor, and in one of our pieces of equipment we had up in the barn was we called it a windmill. It was where we would dump a bag or buckets of wheat kernels in, and then on the side there was a big, it kind of looked like a flywheel of a starter almost, and then there was a handle on there, and it would attach to smaller sprocket wheels. And so you would crank this thing, and so on the inside,
there were different webs and different slants on the webs on the inside. And so the faster you would crank, the more shaking on the inside that was going on. And the purpose, the reason that we did this was, it was to remove the chaff from the good. In other words, it was to remove the impurities from the pure stuff. You know, when you eat some good wheat bread, I guess, was that what we had tonight? Is that wheat bread? See, now what if the wheat, before it was ground up, somewhere along the line, those kernels went through a shaking. They went through a sifting to remove the impurity. Because had that not happened, that bread wouldn't have been that good. So the sifting and the shaking, what happens, it removes the impurities from the good. It separates the good from the bad. Really the purpose of it. So as we go through the shaking and the sifting, and be assured that Jesus is praying that in the midst of that shaking, in the midst of removing the impurities from our life, He's also praying for us that our faith will not fail. In other words, He's rooting for us. He's rooting for us. God is for us. Who can be against us? It's not whether God is on our side. It's whether we're on His side. He's for us, not against us. Somehow, sometimes we get the idea that God is just waiting for us to mess up so He can whip us over the head. No, His heart is. Yeah, He's just, He's holy, He's righteous, He's truth, He's grace, He's all of that. His heart is that we give ourselves and surrender. He's not there just waiting for us to mess up to see how bad He can treat us. It's not the heart of God in the midst of trials. It's to remove the impurities and to separate the good from the bad according to this. And there's other reasons as well. So Jesus said, I'm praying for you, Simon. I'm praying for you that your faith will not fail. When thou art converted, then strengthen thy brethren. And He said, now just look at this. Lord, I'm ready to go with you both in the prison and to death. I don't know what I would have done in this situation if I would have been Peter. Hearing those next words that Jesus said. Right after Peter, Simon said, Lord, let me paraphrase, you have nothing to worry about. I am yours. I hope we all feel that way tonight. No matter what happens to me, I am yours. Going to go after you. Even if you go to prison, Jesus, I am there. Even if they kill you, I will die with you. I am so committed to you. And Jesus said, actually, Peter, just to forewarn you, you're going to deny me 3 times. Wow. What do you think Peter felt, Simon? I don't know what I would have done. It's what Jesus said. He said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shall thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now, jump to verse 54 there in that same chapter. Verse 54. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. This is after the arrest of Jesus now. And then we'll get back to this chapter toward the end of the message here tonight. But it says in verse 54, then took they him, led him, brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed how? Afar off, or some translation would say at a distance. And when they had kindled fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly, like intently, looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he, talking about Peter, denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out, and he wept bitterly. A man who was so committed, so surrendered, Jesus, you have nothing to worry about. I am one of yours. I will go with you. Until he was faced with a trial, with a cup. He was confronted earnestly, intently. Hey, you're a follower of this man. See, sometimes, isn't in the goodness of God, the reason he brings hard things our way is so that, how do I say this? So that our roots even go deeper with him. Because apart from, sometimes you wish just like, wouldn't it just be great if there would be no hard things that I go through? No ridicule, no misjudgment, no misunderstanding, no false accusations. No, wouldn't that just be great? While we think it may be great, it may not be the best for us. God knows what's best for us. God knows what's best for us. He's in charge. Then, after the rooster crowed, it's a very interesting account here, is it not? It says that the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. So I don't know, was the Lord over here, you know, looking this way, and Peter was over there being confronted, however distant it was, but somehow they could see each other, and I picture the Lord turning, and the moment that the Lord turned and looked at Peter, immediately Peter remembered. Now, why did Peter go outside and weep bitterly? I've wondered. It could be for various reasons. One of the reasons could be that the moment that the rooster crowed and Peter remembered, it could be in his heart he was just like, I don't believe this. I was so committed. I don't believe I denied my Lord. It could have been that. But I'm not trying to add or take away from Scripture, but I wonder if what really, really broke Peter's heart is when the Lord turned and looked at him. I wonder what Peter sends from Jesus right there. I wonder if not the greater thing that caused Peter to go out and weep is when Jesus turned, looked at him. Again, I'm only imagining this. It doesn't record this. But I want to believe that Peter saw something in the eyes of Jesus that broke him. In spite of his mess up, his failure, compassion. Yeah, I want to believe that. I want to believe that. Sometimes the rooster needs to crow to remind us who Jesus is. Crisis reveals character. God always has our best in mind. Nothing happens unless God is permitting it. I want to turn now to Matthew chapter 14 and look at another situation. As we turn there, I'm reminded of a lady that some years ago we were having tent meetings at a community, and through those tent meetings we got to know some people there. And this one lady following that kept calling me and pleading her case. And I could tell when she would call me that she was talking about her husband, she was talking about the church leaders, and she was just angry and upset and all of these things. And first of all, for the record, I do not appreciate when a lady calls me with her issues.
I don't think it's appropriate. That's just, I don't know how else to be more honest. Now, she did tell me, her husband knew that she was calling me, and I can support that to a certain extent. But she kept calling me over and over and pleading her case and this and that and the church leader's this and my husband this and the church leader's that. And I just don't. And after a couple phone calls, I was like, what I sensed coming through was a controlling spirit. And this went on for 6 months periodically. Finally, the Lord just spoke to me and said, okay, how long will you give ear to this controlling spirit? The things that she was telling me were trials in her life and cups that were handed to her. And I saw right into it that God was allowing it to happen to get her to see that she has a controlling spirit. And obviously she did not see it. Sometimes when we're in the middle of the woods, we don't see the trees, right? We wonder, why is it going the way it is when God is so wanting us to come to Him and to allow Him to purify us, and we just keep plowing right on through? Finally, the next phone call, the Lord had prepared my heart. And as gently as I could, after she pleaded her case, same thing over and over again. And I just asked her a question. I said, would you mind if I would share something with you? She said, yes. So I had her permission. I did that intentionally. But she gave me permission to share with her. I said, what I sense that God is doing in your life, all these hard things you're facing, God wants to show you that you have a controlling spirit that you need to repent of, and you're not willing to let that thing go. Es ist really still about uns on my end. It got really quiet on the other end. But she saw it. She saw it. And she didn't deny it. I'm saying all that to say, sometimes when God takes us through these hard times, He's wanting to, and I'm not. No. Can we come before the Lord? Say, oh Jesus, it hurts. It doesn't make any sense. They don't understand me. They don't even know how to respond to me. But God wants to do a deep work in our heart. In the line of duty is often where it happens. We'll get to more practical things in just a moment. But here, Jesus fed the 5,000. Right following that great miracle, He straightway, verse 22, I am in Matthew 14. Straightway Jesus constrained or told His disciples, get into a ship, go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. And straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter, my man, he answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come unto Thee on the water. And He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand, caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. In the line of duty, the disciples obeying the commands of the Master. In the middle of the night, about 3 a.m., fourth watch of the night, Jesus goes unto them out in the storm,
walking on the sea. So the disciples, they look out, they saw something out there thinking, is it a spirit or what is it? Jesus, of course, knew their situation. Straightway, he spoke to them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Do you believe that's what he's telling us in the midst of a storm, in the midst of a turmoil, in the midst of misunderstandings, in the midst of ridicule, and in the midst of hardships? I believe Jesus tells us the same thing. Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. It is I. Now picture this. Peter, the same man who also denied Jesus, right? The same man. You talk about a classic of speak now, think later type person. Probably nobody in here like that. Well, I know my wife. I do that too sometimes. She's smiling back there. But sometimes I speak and then I think what I just said. Here was Peter. And this is what he said. When Jesus said, be of good cheer, it is I, don't be afraid. What did Peter say? Lord, if it is you, tell me to come. You think he thought that through? Probably not. He probably didn't think like, oh, what if he tells me to come? Sure enough, Jesus said, come. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. Jesus says, come. Now again, I don't want to add to this or take away, but I don't picture just the moment that Jesus said, come, that Peter just went like, bloop, here we go. I don't picture it quite that way. See, in the midst of the storm, when God is doing some purifying, whether it is in our church, I mean in our own life, or in our church or family, whatever the situation, when he's doing the purifying and the shaking, when Jesus says, come, a lot of times I want to have a lot of questions answered before I go, step out. I picture Jesus somehow, now just imagine this is a boat that was not smooth. So it was rocking. So I picture Peter somehow hanging on to the railings or the side or something. So out there is Jesus, and Jesus is saying, come, Peter. And I somehow like, do I or don't I? Do I or don't I? Isn't that often what I do in the midst of a hard thing? Am I really going to step out, and or am I going to just, I'm afraid. If I go after Jesus, Jesus says, do not fear. Be not afraid. A lot of times I want to see the end result before I take the first step. Not so with Peter. When he finally took the step and let go, he steps out. He did not know the end result when he did that. He did not know how this was going to end up because it was still windy. It was still stormy. But he took the step. It's one thing to step out on smooth water. It's another thing to... He takes the step. He was looking right at him. Right at him. And all of a sudden, Peter did what I so often do. How in the world did I get here? And I start looking at my surroundings and my circumstances. And I take my eyes off of the one. Now, we criticize Peter for that. He should not have taken his eyes off. But let's give this guy some credit. Look what he did. Look what he did. He says, Jesus said, come, when Peter was come down out of the boat. And again, to verify. I don't think Peter just, the moment he said come, blip went, because it says, and when Peter was come. When he took the step down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, the circumstances, the waves, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. He wasn't even down yet. He was only beginning to go down, and he knew right where to go. So we criticize Peter for Jesus, but let's give the guy some credit. How many times do I take my eyes off? Yeah. Even before he was under, he recognized, oh, that wasn't the right move. Jesus, Lord, save me. Yeah. Yeah. Save me. I was so moved and blessed in our prayer meeting tonight. In my heart, there was stirring. The brother was sharing of some of the hard things he's going through, and had no idea this was on my heart. I was moved in how he just spoke scripture and claiming scripture. That's where we turn. That's where we don't keep going down. We don't keep sinking. We quote scripture, claim scripture, cry unto Jesus. Yes, while circumstances are hard, the joy of Jesus no circumstance can rob. That inner connection. And that's what I believe was at the heart of Jesus when he told Peter, while you're being shaken, I'm going to pray for you that your faith will not fail. Yeah, I'm going to pray for you. And if Jesus said that way back then, I believe he's saying that to us right here tonight. He's praying for us. Some of us have cups right now. Some of us have had cups in the past. Church things, misunderstandings, hard things. When we were first starting our journey with Gospel Express, I know Brother Irvin, you were involved with that. I think you came off the board then right after that or something, or somewhere in that line. But I remember at our church that we were attending that time, the Lord laid on Ruth Ann and I's heart that the church was going to license, commission us to for the work. And one day it was just clear to me that the Lord spoke to me and said, you know, I know that we're going to face some things on the journey, and it would be a great blessing. I mean, we had the blessing of the mission board, the leadership, the elders, the whole group. I mean, we had the blessing to move forward. And one day it was just like very clear to me that, you know, the Lord was speaking to me and said, it would be a blessing if I would know that the entire congregation, not just the leadership and the mission board, but the entire congregation would be behind this move. And so I appealed to our leadership team and said, what do you all think? I will trust you, whatever you think is best. If you don't think it's a good idea, we're okay with this. But this is something God spoke to our heart, and I'm going to trust your discernment here. What would it take to at least ask or inquire the congregation for their blessing on this move? They were like, yeah, that's a good idea. We'll do it. I, to this day, don't know exactly how they went about to do it. Was it via ballot or how they got the voice of the church? I'm not sure the procedure that was taken. But they got back to me. And it was a large congregation at that time, still is. Out of the entire congregation, about three brothers gave caution about this. And I was like, you know what my first response was? Yes. Congregation this size, only three? I was like, this is great, man. This is exactly what I wanted. This is just great, no issue. We're going for it. About a week later, one morning in prayer, the Lord began to speak to me about the three. I said, Lord, you know, we do this through voting or whatever. They're outvoted. I mean, it's not even a close call. I mean, it's out of all these people, it's like only three people. I mean, they're just outvoted. It's tough. I mean, I didn't know who they were. And I was like, hey, they're outvoted. And I was okay for a day or two. And as I kept praying, it's like, three people. You know, you kind of, again, you argue with the Lord. It's like, don't you know they're outvoted? I mean, it's just like, no, three people. Finally, I said, okay, Lord. I went back to the leadership team. I said, hey, again, I'm under your authority. I will trust you. If you don't think this is good for the congregation or for me, I'm okay with this. But the Lord has been speaking to me about these three people. And I don't know who they are. But would you care to give me their names? And again, if you don't think it's a good idea, I'm okay with that. But it's on my heart. They said, sure. We'd love to give those names to you, and we'd encourage you to meet with them. It's exactly what I wanted to do. They gave me the names. I said, great, thank you. I called up the one brother. We met for evening meal at a restaurant. And I said, brother, I love you. I have nothing to hide. My life is an open book. Speak into my life. Speak into my life. And the conversation went something like, you know, I just want to, you know, of all these evangelists that go out there and they preach. And of course, back then we had four small, this was in the late 90s, so our children were, you know, small and like that. And he said, these evangelists, you know, they go out there preaching and their families at home suffering and all of that. And I don't like what I see in a lot of evangelist families and all of that. And I'm just cautioning you in that. Don't let that happen. And just gave me some other really, really good advice. And then he shared a few other concerns that didn't have anything to do with me personally, just kind of an overall. And I was like, wow, brother, thank you. I received that. I need that admonishment. I need to hear that. I said, thank you for sharing your heart with me. I said, now, having said what you did, could you give your blessing in the move that we're making? He said, oh, absolutely. I stand with you. I walked away from that. I was like, oh, that wasn't so bad. Then, the second brother, I was going to church with these people. These were people I would sit beside in church, right? This was not some John Doe from town. I approached a brother after church one Sunday, back at the foyer, and I opened my life. I said, brother, I understand you have some concerns. And he said, yeah. I said, well, my life is an open book. I have nothing to hide. I just open my life. Share what's on your heart. And he did. Not so good experience. I got saved 1991. This was either 98 or 99, somewhere in there. 7 or 8 years old in the Lord. At that point, I had never had another Christian talked to me like that. It was up one side and down the other. And I'll be really honest with you, it was a cup. And it was a big one. And it was hurtful. And it was painful. It cut deep to the heart. And I'll be honest with you, I stood there and God gave me the grace. I kept praying in my spirit. I said, Lord, I want to just help me. Just help me. Because man, in my heart, I wanted to tell him a thing or two about his life. But God kept me from it. God kept me from it. And I wanted, God just kept me from saying what I wanted to say. And after he was done, I thanked him for it. And I remember praying, and I said, Lord, help me to take out of this what you want me to learn. This was a cup. This was hard. It was difficult, painful. And I know some of you have faced trials and things that doesn't even compare. Everybody has their story. I understand all that. But I remember leaving that place. On the way home, I told my wife, I said, what just happened? And I said, Lord, help me to look at this. Help me to look at this. Whatever you want me to learn from it, repent of anything, Lord, I have nothing to hide. Help me to repent. Give me the grace to walk through it. But most of all, Jesus, would you help me to forgive this man for the pain and for the attitude that it was spoken in? Would you help me to forgive? I will choose to forgive him. Not only that, but I specifically ask God, would you put a love in my heart for this man that when I see him at church or anywhere else, that it is a genuine love in my heart that I can walk up to this man and just give him a good old Jesus hug. Not one of those stiff arm deals. How you doing, buddy? But just a real Jesus hug. And not pretending. Not a pretend hug. But God put it in my heart. And he did. He did. There was absolutely no attitude toward him. God completely erased that. When I would see him, I would throw my arms around him and give him a Jesus squeeze. And it came from my heart because it was Jesus. The third brother. After church one Sunday, again, this all happened within a week or two or so. Again, I stood back there in the foyer and I just opened my life. I said, brother, I understand you have some concerns. And I had worked through this second one. And then this third brother, same thing. Up one side, down the other. I mean painful, hurtful. And it stirred up things again. It was like, man, I just dealt with that other cup. Now, here comes another one. Lord, what do you want me to learn? Lord, teach me. Lord, I'm yours. Somehow you want to sift me. You want to break me. You want to do something in my heart. Lord, I don't want to receive the critical spirit, but neither do I want to miss what you're teaching me. Broke my heart. Remember again, I said, Lord, I choose to forgive, but help me to look at what was said. If there's anything of that in my life, I repent of it. I want to repent of it. I don't want it. And God gave me the grace. And I left it at that. About a week later or two, a couple weeks later actually, the third brother, after church one Sunday, and in the course of a couple of weeks' time, we'd have church weeknights or Sundays. I would be very intentional about trying to go to these brothers and greet them and hug them. This Sunday, a few Sundays after the initial meeting there, this brother comes walking over toward me. My heart started thumping because this time he was coming to me. And I thought, I wonder what he's going to say. He came over to me and he just shook my hand. He looked at me. And that morning, apparently, I had shared something up front. I think I was on the mission board at the time or something, gave a mission report or something. He stood in front of me and he just looks at me. And all of a sudden, he begins to just speak words of life and affirmation into my life. And these were some of the words, was like, you know, God has so gifted you in speaking and public speaking and all of that. And God is going to use you. And just, I mean, he just spoke into my life. I was like literally shocked. Oh, me of little faith. Because I was not expecting that. I wasn't expecting to hear that. Because of our earlier exchanges and or him speaking to me. He would just, I mean, he spoke into my life. It was almost like I felt my feet go off the ground. It was like God has so gifted you, and God, and he just kept going. And then at the end, what really just put the cherry on top. These were the words. And I believe that the ministry that God has called you to, I want you to know, I stand behind you. And I said, Lord, how did this happen? This was later as I was processing this. How did this happen? How did this happen? See, when we forgive and release, God works on those people. God's Spirit works on those people. Yeah. We treat them with the love of Jesus. Honor and respect, whether we agree with them or not. God works on those people. And I said, Lord, help me to never have unforgiveness or any attitude toward those who bring the cups. Sometimes the people bring the biggest cups are the ones closest to us. Sometimes it's across the dining room table. Sometimes it's the chair next to you at church. Sometimes people that are very close to us hand us the biggest cups. But God is doing something in my heart and in their heart. We moved on forward with the licensing. The second brother, I had not talked to. We had conversations about stuff. You know, we were going to church together, but not about this. The night of our licensing, I don't know how you do it here, but there we had, Ruth Ann and I were up front, and people would come through the line and encourage us and shake hands with us and encourage us and all that. He was coming through the line. And as he got closer, I was like, I wonder where he's really at with this. As he got closer, he was a little shorter than I am, but he just stood right in front of me, held my hand, looked at me right in the eyes. And I was doing what I'm doing now. But he looked at me right in the eyes. He just held my hand. He looked right up at me. I just want you to know, I'm 100% behind you. Cried. Hugged him. I thank God, as a young Christian, 7-8-year-old Christian, at the time it was ugly, and at the time it was unfair, so I thought. Not right. I thought it was absolutely ungodly. All of that. But God permitted this to happen to teach me what it is to have a cup and to drink it. And then to watch him take care of those who hand us the cups. And I say today, any one of these brothers, and we have been back to the churches where these brothers attend. They're not in different churches. We've been back to their churches. And there is absolutely no walls anywhere. I can go to any one. Well, in fact, one of them passed away. But the other ones, I can just give them that old Jesus hug. Oh, I'm doing... How did I end up with you? You were sitting over there last night, and I was giving you a back rub. Oh, it's the other shoulder. Oh, shoot. Man. But honestly, I could give them a Jesus hug. No hard feelings, no walls anywhere. I don't know what cups that you are holding right now. But I want to go to Luke chapter 22 and then we'll close. We want to look at another cup. Luke chapter 22. And this is where Jesus was praying in the garden. It's in between the verses that we read, verse 39, and he came out and he went as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. When he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. For he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. He kneeled down and he prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Then there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer, he was come to his disciples. He found them sleeping for sorrow. He said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. It's interesting to me that when Jesus was probably at one of his darkest times in life, where he was faced with a cup that had to do with my sin and your sin. One of the darkest times in his life. What an example he left for us. First of all, prayed more earnestly. The reason I use this tonight is Jesus had a cup. We have cups. But when I hold my cup beside Jesus' cup, does it compare? The second question is, Jesus was willing, not my will, but your will be done, which was the will of the Father. He was willing to drink his cup. Am I willing to drink mine? Acts chapter 7, and then we'll go into the invitation. Acts chapter 7, where Stephen was ready to be stoned. Here's what it says in verse 54, Acts chapter 7. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly into heaven. He saw the glory of God and Jesus doing what? Standing. You know, another scripture says how that after Jesus ascended, he went back to heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Here it says, and I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Stephen was facing a cup. The heavens opened. He sees Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Say that to say this. I believe when we're handed cups and hard things in life, first of all, God is for us. He's not against us. I believe he is standing on our behalf, rooting for us. Am I willing to drink the cup? Or am I going to pour it out? Nope. They mistreated me. They misunderstood me. They did me wrong. So they need to come to me. Was Jesus mistreated? Yes, he was. Yes, he was. My heart tonight is, we want to take care of what God is asking of us. Leave the results up to him. The invitation tonight is, if you're faced with a cup, trial, Jesus doesn't even compare to your cup, but I want to come and drink the cup and release those who have handed me the cups, or whatever circumstance that has brought a cup to me, I release it to you, Jesus, because you are standing on my behalf. Can we stand together tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, there are many different cups that we face. Sometimes it's relationships. Sometimes it's sickness. Sometimes it's the loss of loved ones. Sometimes it's financial breakdowns, misunderstandings. Am I the carrot? Am I the egg? Or am I the coffee beans? So Jesus, tonight, you know my heart. You know cups that you've allowed even recently in my own life. Time wouldn't permit, for any one of us to share all our cups. Lord, I pray tonight that you would help us, no matter what cup is in our hand, that we would be willing to drink it, just like you did, Jesus. That we come to that place of not my will, but thy will be done. That, Lord, if forgiveness is needed, Lord, we would drink the cup of pain. Because, Lord, it cost you a lot of pain to forgive us for our sins. How can I not forgive, even if it's painful? Because when you forgave us, you carried the pain of our sin. So Lord, I pray that you would give us grace right now. Just give us grace and strength to drink the cup or the cups that have been handed to us, understanding that it's because you love us and you care for us. And that, Lord, when we endure the trials and the trials of life, that we will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness, and you will be exalted. So if you're here tonight and you want to just say, oh God, I'm going to come and drink the cup, just step out and come right now. Can you do that tonight? Drink the cup. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, I drink the cup.
Your heart is pure. Your hands are clean. We ask you to just come and pray. You do that tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Let's enjoy the presence of God. Holy Spirit, do your ministry right now, Lord. Sweetness of your spirit. Sweetness of your spirit, Lord. Do your ministry, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Brokenness, Lord. Brokenness in your presence, Lord. Brokenness in your presence, Lord. Ministry of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Do it right now, Jesus. Release, oh God. Release, oh God. Release in Jesus' name. Spirit of healing. Jesus, restore what the locusts have eaten, oh God. Worship you, Lord. Yes, Father, we come to your throne of grace, and we thank you for the sweetness of your Spirit. We thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I speak into the spirit world restoration and healing. Release restoration and healing. Healing to broken hearts. Lord, how you so restore and refresh. We pray for that tonight. Yes. Yes. Just release it. Hold nothing back. Just release it. Just pray a release. Yes. Please. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Release Jesus. Yes, Lord. Want to tonight just let continue happen here what is happening. Father, I just pray that you would dismiss us with your blessing, your presence, surrounding, guarding angels to encamp around us. Lord, I want to publicly say thank you. Thank you for the cups that you allow to come our way. Because, Lord, you have our best in mind. You want to do things and you want to take us to deeper levels with you. Sometimes I don't learn it any other way. Through a cup. And Lord, I thank you for teaching us along the way. I pray, oh God, every person in this room, Jesus, help us, oh God, to never carry anger, bitterness, and hatred of cups that are handed to us. Because, Lord, it'll just quench your spirit from moving in our life. We don't want that. I pray a release over this congregation and all those who are here tonight. Jesus, would you release freedom? Release freedom. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to disrupt what's happening here. If you need to leave, completely understand. It's already after 9 o'clock, I know. But you are dismissed prayerfully.